thousands were being saved. Many were joining the church. There was a lot of wonderful things going on. And as wonderful things sometimes do, they catch good attention, and sometimes they catch the wrong kind of attention. So they were captured by the government here, and they were put forward, and they were preaching the gospel. They were preaching the truth of their situation. When in verse 33 we come to this, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And he said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Sarthutius, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Gamaliel's advice here was, all right, listen, if these guys are real, there's nothing we can do. These guys are real. That means that they are backed by God. There's nothing we can do. However, and I believe that Gamaliel suspected more this than the other. If they're nothing, think of these two other guys that called a big following. We killed that guy, and they all ran out. So if we do nothing, we won't get ourselves in trouble with God, or they'll just go their own way. Because without a leader, they'll fall apart. And there was no, despite the Roman Catholic belief, there was no one man who stepped up and took Jesus' place. He didn't lay down the mantle and one man picked it up. No, the apostles became the pastors of individual places and churches, and sometimes they were together and sometimes they were separate. Most of the time they were doing the job of an evangelist. They were going out, they're starting churches, doing the work. But there was no one man who came by to provide that. Why? Because that one man stayed, really. Sure, he was up in heaven, but it was still his teaching, still the Holy Spirit that led them. It was still the command of the Father that they were following. They didn't need a new guy. So when this Thutis guy died, everybody departed because there was no leader. When Judas of Galilee rose up and he died, there was no one to lead his following. When Jesus died, he was still able to lead his following. Right? So then we see this. I'm like, okay, Gamaliel, that's some good advice. But then they still beat these guys. They still beat the apostles. Right? Now again, these are during Roman times. These people loved the scent of blood in the air. So that when they beat them, we're not talking like it was just a little smack smack to the face. They beat them. And there's a lot of different horrible ways where you could be publicly beaten. And then who knows which one they use, but they beat these guys. And the apostles rejoiced. They rejoiced. Could you imagine being in their position? They're in front of this council and they're preaching. And they get this idea in their head that they're going to kill the apostles. And the apostles know they have this intention to kill them. And this guy steps up and, all right, let's just beat him instead. And they take their beating and they rejoice. Some of us, our lives fall apart when we stub our toes. What we see here is an attitude. What was it that they rejoiced that God would count them worthy to suffer for him? After all, Jesus Christ suffered for the cause. And they thought how wonderful it is that we are considered strong enough, worthy enough to be able to take this. You know, oftentimes we let life go by too fast. Anybody here, you believe that life is moving fast? It's quick, isn't it? I just got here yesterday. Melody was just born, you know, the day before that. You know, we had our second birthday yesterday. That was something. Like, who blinks? That's nonsense. You know, Xander was sitting there talking. He goes, I'm going to be 10 years old this year. I go, no, you were just five. Just five, man. What happened? What goes on? And what comes with time going faster and faster is a general malaise. You ever feel that? The kids see the snow falling down, they rush to the windows. Oh, it's snowing! You and me, we see that nowadays and we go, oh, that's early this year, I guess. Well, good thing I got that can of gas out there. I'd have been in trouble without it. And it moves on. You know, the kids are like, oh, it's going to be Thanksgiving. We're going to go to Thanksgiving. Da, 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 da. Here we are. Oh, man, you know they're going to charge me $5 for a can of cranberry sauce. And we stress because we lose the joy in it. So we start to worry about stuff, right? It's, oh, the turkey, oh, the this, oh, the that. And then I'm going to sneeze and it'll be Christmas and we got to do it all over again with the shopping and the presents and the bows. And then before we know it, that's gone. And we're in the middle of February. It's a brand new year. How do we get to 2023? I never thought, 2023 was just a far off thought when I was a kid. Now, here it is. Time goes by fast. We fall into this general unfeeling malaise of things. And you know what we lose in that? Gratitude. We lose gratitude. Why? Because everything becomes a jumble of experiences. We don't stop to look at them for what they are and be happy about it. We don't stop to see the preciousness of a thing, the joy of a thing, and raise it up to the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for this thing. Even in the most simple of things. Right? You think about this. You know, even something as small as you go to Aldi, and you see that you got to put a quarter to get the cart, and you dig in your pocket. Oh, wow. Thank you, Lord. I had no idea I was coming here today. Didn't even think to get a quarter. There you go. Something so small. Thank you. Now, I know that sounds irrational to some. Well, if you had a quarter in your pocket, it's because you broke a dollar somewhere. That don't mean anything. I guess you'd have to know me and the stuff that comes in and out of my pockets. Right? See, the Lord works out so many wonderful things and orchestrates so many great things together. And we can lift that up and we can say, thank you. Thank you. And if we don't look for reasons to be grateful for the stuff that's going on in our lives, we won't do it. You know what I mean? If we don't look for an opportunity to be grateful, we'll stop being grateful for things. Oh, well, brother, I'm very grateful. When was the last time you talked to God about how thankful you were to have certain things in your life? Let's do a little test. Think about your house for a second. When was the last time you said, Lord, thank you? Think about the parts of your house. Lord, thank you that these pipes haven't done this or that. Lord, thank you that the roof doesn't have any leaks in it. Lord, thank you for the drains that I only ever have to snake to get hair out of, you know. Lord, thank you that it's been so easy. Thank you that it's been so great. What about your health? Now, some of you've got health struggles, so sometimes it can be hard to be thankful for those things. But think about all the things that are going right. You ever thankful for those? We ought to be able to lift those things up to the Lord and say, Lord, thank you. And I tell you what, if we develop a good practice of that, we can go through hard times like the apostles here, bloody-nosed and black-eyed, and say, Lord, I can't believe you think that I can put up with this. Thank you. And it sounds insane. Unless you've got a heart of gratitude. And you go, how cool it is, Lord, that you find me strong enough. Lord, that you've given me enough responsibility to have put a burr under these guys' saddles. Because that's what it was. Our goal is to get every heart and mind to understand the gospel. And if they're angry, that's not what I want. I don't want them angry. But if they're angry, at least I know they heard it. At least I know that I got to this level. I got to these guys. And they heard it. And yeah, it's a bummer that they got angry. Yeah, it's a bummer that they got violent. But Lord, you put me in front of these guys and they heard me. And they heard me. We need to look at the whole aspect of gratitude in order to have it. Because gratitude, I firmly believe, first and foremost, is a choice. So what are the conditions that lead to gratitude? Well, if I'm looking at these guys in verse 40, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So look at the situation here. Hey, you guys go over there for a little bit. We're going to talk. We're angry. We're going to kill you. Hold on, guys. Let's have a conversation. All right, you guys go over there. We're going to come over here and powwow for a minute. We come up and like, all right, listen, we're just going to beat you and you're not going to say anything about the Lord Jesus Christ anymore. That's rough, isn't it? You know what I like? I like the fact that it took me absolutely nothing to be able to come up here and preach the gospel today or preach the word of God today. We don't have to hide it. The word Baptist is still on there. I can still proclaim it. They might not like it here or there in certain places, but there's no law stopping me from doing it. Isn't that nice? I could go out to the street corner. I could talk about the name of Jesus anywhere, any place here in America, and it's okay. Right? People might not like it, but there's no law against it. That's nice. That's good to have. These guys, they didn't have that option. The law was telling them, you can't do this no more. And many people would despair at that. But of course, they had no intention of following it, so it didn't bother them. I don't have to listen to you. I'm going to do it anyway. And I tell you what, if ever we find ourselves, like many countries do today, unable to use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, well, I would hope that we would still do so anyway. Yeah? So we've got a lot to be grateful for. We don't have a lot of burdens on us, but there are burdens in our lives. And it's important for us to be able to look at the hard things and find reasons to be grateful. To find something to point to it and say, hey, look, at least there is this. Recently we got a flat tire in the van. This was quite a while ago. I told you guys about this. And bless my heart, I couldn't find the spare. There's no spare. I thought there was a spare. There was no spare. Digging for it, looking for it, couldn't find it. We had AAA. We called AAA. They got us to the place. They had the exact tire we needed. Amen. There it was. You know, and then as they had it jacked up, they're like, well, how come you didn't use the spare? I said, there was no spare. And I thought the spare was in the back. The spare was in the front. Had a spare the whole time. You see, in our hard situations, and that wasn't too hard. Some of you can name things that are going on right now. There's severe illness, there's loss, there's mourning, there's grieving. But in those things are hidden blessings. And they are there to give you courage. They're there to give you hope. They're there to pick you up. They're there to encourage you and comfort you along the way. We've got to find those things in that situation. And we would think, oh, well, how difficult, but you understand it doesn't fix the fact that I'm going through a hard time, but you're going to go through that hard time anyway. Wouldn't you rather have something to comfort you? Let us have gratitude. Right? You know, it was a bummer that we've gone through this really rough last couple of weeks, but I sure am glad that you were there for me every day. And you say that to a friend. I'm glad you were there for me. I'm glad you stuck by me. I'm glad that you called. I'm glad that you never left my side during this time. Lord, I'm really glad that you put so-and-so in my life so that they could be there. And Lord, I'm glad that just when things were going rough, there was that knock on the door and there was a blessing that so we left right there on my doorstep. Lord, thank you. Many things to be grateful for. Many things. Do you know how many people I got to cook for this Thanksgiving dinner? Do you know how many people are going to be in this house? You need to be glad that that many people would want to come to your house and sit and have a meal with you. Because we're losing that today, aren't we? We're losing that. We're losing that in a lot of different ways. We're losing that in the fact that we're losing people, you know, in death. As people go the way of the world, the Bible says, there's less of them. Relationships and lives change and decisions are made and people move. And the conditions have got to be just right to get everybody you want in the house in the house. And it's getting less and less. And not just that, but we're losing connectivity in the way that we've never had it before. So there's a lot of conditions. And when we're in those situations, we need to purpose in our hearts. I'm going to find something in this to be grateful for. Something in this to be grateful for. Brother Dennis and I, we were talking this morning as I was coming in. And I'm like, oh, well, it looks like the plow guy might not have thought that we had enough snow to come out. And then Brother Dennis goes, well, maybe, you know, if that blade would have come down, it would have ruined everything Brother Mike and them did, Brother Mike and Brother Charlie did to lay down those lines. And so it's good that maybe it didn't happen and this and that. There's blessings in everything, isn't there? The problem is with us is we choose not to look for them. Because we're caught up on the 12 people coming over. And will that turkey be good enough? Will that turkey be big enough to feed them? And we never stop to think, I haven't seen so-and-so in a year. It's going to be good to sit down and talk with them. It sure is going to be good to see those kids. Sure is going to be good to see old Uncle so-and-so. We need to look forward to those things and count our blessings and be grateful in those things. So the conditions of gratitude in our tribulations, we need to be looking for reasons to be happy. In that tribulation that they had, it was followed by deliverance. They went from being killed to being beaten and they go, hey, I'll take it. You know, hey, that's fine. Because I want to preach the gospel some more. Because I've got a God to serve. I'll take another day to do this. And every morning, folks, that's our deliverance. Every morning, you wake up. That's a gift. That's a gift. You know, I hate it. You see it happening more and more nowadays. You find people, all this, you turn on the news and so in their 30s died in their sleep. Never used to hear a lot about that, but I hear more and more about it. I'm like, oh no, I'm in my 30s, you know. Every morning we're given is a gift. Every day we make it to bedtime is a gift. For them to be able to walk away was something that wasn't initially part of the conversation. We need to be grateful. Teenagers, young adults, they die every day. The elderly, they die every day. Middle-aged people, they die every day. None of us are promised the end of the day. So we be grateful for the time that we have. We be grateful for what is there. And no, it won't take the sting from the beating away. No, it won't take the pain from the punishment away. But it will alleviate it. We'll be better. We'll comfort you. We'll, again, give you strength. It'll give you assurance. It'll give you assurance. You know what's fun about those apostles? They were happy to be beaten for the cause of Christ. And many of them proved that they would have been happy to die for the cause of Christ. They would have been grateful for the opportunity. You know, hey, if that's how much the word of God has stung you, at least I know I preach the word of God and I'm okay to suffer for it. I'm okay to suffer for it. Now, again, not that I bemoan our liberty. I love our liberty here in the United States. I love the fact that we get to do it. But I tell you what, I think some of us would be a lot more disciplined if we had just a little bit more persecution. We'd be a lot more disciplined in our giving of the gospel. We'd be a lot more grateful if there was just a little bit more difficulty. We've been playing our Christian lives on easy mode here in our country. But we all the same need to fight hard. Find things to be grateful over. Be glad to serve the Lord. Be glad, as the Bible says, when people get angry at us for the things that we stand for. Not that strife, as we talked about this morning, not that strife is the goal. The goal isn't to pick fights. The goal is to give the gospel. The goal is for the Holy Spirit to convict those souls of their lost estate. That is the goal. That is the purpose. But I tell you what, if you're angry, at least I know you heard it. And we need to be grateful. So we, in these assurances that it's going to be okay. You know, as they're walking away and they're bandaging themselves up and they're propping each other up. All right, come on. And they're walking away. We're going to be all right. Now, how do you know that that's how they felt? Well, look at the very next thing that they did. They went back out there. And then look what they kept doing. Continually they were doing this. Right? Well, you're asking, my parents would say, Matt, you're asking for another spanking. They were asking for another because they refused to give up the thing that they were doing. Because that's how grateful they were. They were grateful of their own salvation. They were grateful for what God had done in their lives. They were glad for the change God wrought in them. So yeah, we'll suffer. We'll suffer. Absolutely. For the love and the care that you've given me, absolutely I'll step in. So we see the conditions of gratitude, but there must be in our hearts the recognition of gratitude. The recognition. In Sunday school this morning, we talked about David and his realization of the depths of his depravity. Folks, God sees very little difference between the state of our souls and David's. In our sinfulness, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags, the Bible says. And yet, Jesus Christ was okay to put his blood on the line. To go down and suffer the beatings and the torturings. And it makes me upset when people say, well, it's not really like he died because he rose again 3 days later. Do you see the manner of his death? It was no slap on the wrist. It was not the peaceful calm of old age. It was not a quick beheading or execution. It was a long, slow, torturous death. Where the sins of mankind, the sins of the elect, bore down on him, adding weight. Jesus Christ suffered the one punishment that no man, woman, or child on this earth has ever suffered, and that is that God could not look on him. Every saint and sinner has God's eyes on him. But for a small window of time, the Son of God, the sinless, perfect one, was so lousy with my sin, his own father couldn't look at him. He did that for me. He did that fully knowing that I would never quite get to where I should be, would never quite be perfect. He knew my failures, he knew my weaknesses, and all of this before I was even born. So not only did he choose to die for me before I was born, but he chose to let me be born anyway. That is the extent of the love of God. In every situation, no matter what is going on in my life, I can reach back to my salvation and say, I am grateful. That either this kills me or lets me live, it doesn't matter. When I open my eyes and when I die and I open my eyes, I will be in heaven, a reward that I don't deserve. Because of the love that God has for me, I can be grateful. But he didn't just save us. What else did he do? He changed our lives. For those that are saved and our lives have changed and we've knocked off a lot of that stuff and we've truly repented of things, we are happy to be rid of those things. And for those of us, we develop other sins after we are saved and the Lord works in our hearts and conviction happens and we put those things off. Aren't you glad that He continues to change your life? I love that old song. I'm not what I ought to be. But thank God, I'm not what I was. And He continuously adds more conviction and changes us here and there and continues to pull us closer to Him. And when we fall off, when we backslide, He brings us back in. I'm thankful for the change that God has made in my life. I can't say for sure what my life would be like if He never saved me. But I've got some ideas. The kind of person I would be, the flaws that I would have, the hurt that I would bring into the lives of other people, the selfishness that I would be prone to. I think I get a good idea of it, and I think perhaps you have a good idea yourself of what you would do. But God didn't leave you to that. He saved you. He changed you. He made you a brand new creature. He didn't make you perfect. That would be nice. I wish I lost my sin nature and my salvation. That would be awesome, but that's not where we are. We still got to carry the dead man with us, as it were. But He changed our lives. Another thing that he does is He trusts us with the weight of His service. He trusts us with the weight of it. I was at the gym one time, and I have to tell you that I was at the gym because looking at me, you wouldn't know otherwise. But there was a guy, and sometimes it just gets busy, it gets crowded. So you find somebody that you say, hey, listen, can we share this thing? Like you do one, and while you're resting, I'll do one, and we'll go back and forth. He goes, sure, absolutely. And he goes, well, let me set this up. And he left his weight on it. I'm like, oh, he thinks I'm as strong as he is. Bless his heart. Take that off. You know, Jesus Christ went through a lot of different things. He went through a lot of different things. He got insulted to His face, right? When He died, or before He died, they beat Him and made fun of Him. And they made a game out of beating Him. And they taunted Him. And they called Him names and they threw accusations at Him. They put Him through a court where even though He had done nothing wrong by their own law, they had to hire people to come and tell lies. At a court session that happened in the middle of the night, there were many laws that they broke of their own just to put Him on that cross before the Sabbath day. They did a lot of things. And here are the apostles. And you know what really thrilled them, I think? You know what really caused them to rejoice? We know that we're exactly in His steps. That we're lifting the same weight He lifted. He stood there and He took the slaps. He stood there and He took the whips. He took the beating. And here we are. We must be going the right direction. Because He's suffering. And He's trusting us to suffer. I've often wondered, we're losing a lot of people in Baptist churches nowadays. And I've often wondered if in some kind of scenario where it did become illegal for us to preach certain things. And they did come after where they're shutting churches down again. How many of us would not go? Oh, brother, that would never happen. We just had that happen 2 years ago where they were trying to tell us that we could not have church services. Now, we got clever. Well, y'all got, I say we, y'all were clever before I got here, right? Y'all worked it out between Brother Gordon and you guys. I'm not sure exactly in the timeline when you started going out to the parking lot, but between Brother Gordon and y'all, you got clever. That's wonderful. But what happened if we weren't allowed to get together? What would we do? How many people would fall off? How many people would stop going because now they have the perfect excuse and perfect reason? There are a lot of these franchise churches out there that never quite got back to meeting together. You want to know why? Because they officially had a reason to miss. And they kept that reason going for so long they didn't have to. Some folks their faith isn't strong. Sometimes our faith is not strong. We need to keep that faith strong. And these apostles are like, yeah, the Lord thinks our faith is strong enough for us to lift this weight. What a treat. What a wonderful thing. And again, I know how crazy it sounds, but to them, they go, hey, if they did this to our Savior and they're doing it to us, we're in the right line, man. We're in the right line because this was a very polytheistic society. This was a very we love a God kind of society. They had no problems. You could have a fish God. You could have a turtle God. You could have any God you wanted. But if the preaching of our God bothers them and they're bothered at our preaching, we're doing it right. And the Lord's trusting me to do it. The Lord's trusting me to do it. So we see the conditions of gratitude. We see the recognition of gratitude. Oh, but let us now see the response of gratitude. If I asked you to pick off a dozen things that you're grateful for, you could probably do it real fast. But if I asked you to give me a list of about 25, yeah, I upped the number, 25 things that you've raised up to God and said, thank you for this, I think some of us would be slower. When was the last time I said, Lord, thank you for this specifically? Now, sometimes we say things fast. Lord, thank you for my family. Thank you for the food. Thank you for the provisions of the day. Thank you for our daily bread. In Jesus' name, amen. We do the fast one. But when was the last time we thanked God for the things that we love? When was the last time you thanked God for your pet or for your house or for your car? No, sometimes we get focused on what's wrong with them. Oh, Lord, you know that rotor's vibrating and I got to replace the entire brake system on the other and I got to do this and I got to do that. And while I'm doing that, this is sitting there not getting done and we stress and we worry and we beg. Shouldn't you be happy? Shouldn't you be happy that you can do things? Be happy that you have things to repair. Because some people don't have those things. You know, I'm happy for a house that I've got to repair. I'm happy to be able to have the ability to go and do those things. You know, my wife and I were joking, you know, when we first got married, we were kind of in a pitiful state. You know, we could handle most things, but if something big happened, we were stuck. If the car broke down, we had one car. That was it. You were down to one car. And when we first got married, she was finishing up one of her degrees. And she had a full-time job. And I had a full-time job. And we had one car. And we had to figure that out. And you had to figure that out until you did get the money to repair the thing to make it work. And sometimes you'd have family step in. And they'd buy this. And they would do this. And they would help out there. And praise the Lord for that. But you know, nowadays, something goes wrong. We don't have to wait for weeks to buy a new tire. We don't have to wait for weeks to get this or that replaced or repaired. If, you know, when the kids get sick, we can't afford to take care of this or that. So nowadays, when things go wrong, I'm kind of glad that I've got the ability to address those things. Because I remember what it's like to not be able to. You know, we had to replace a toilet seat the other day. And the wrong size toilet seat came in, so I'm sitting there with the wrong toilet seat, and my in-laws were coming over, and my family was coming over, and my father-in-law, now you know I'm afraid of my father-in-law. There's not a lot of people there's not a lot of folks who I desperately need their approval of, but he's one of them. And there was no way I ran out. I'm like, I will return that one later, I need to go get one. Rushed into the house, knowing I had about 10 minutes to get that toilet seat back on before I went out and I got the pizza. But guess what, folks? I did it. He had no idea. Fix it! Fix it! Clean it! Do this! Do that! I'm okay with that. I'm okay with repairing this and fixing that and fighting with this. Because I remember a time when I'm sitting there going, hun, the guy who we rented the house from, he sold it. We've got 2 weeks to get out. I remember that. It's terrifying. Terrifying. What am I going to do? And of course, the rental process has never been easy. And we didn't have enough money to drive to an apartment complex, let alone move. So you know what? I'll fix the toilet seat.
I'll sing a song while I do it. I was out there this morning. I had a time and a half out there. The shovel wasn't working right. I didn't get it up fast enough to where I could let the salt sit on it long enough. Man, a lot of stress-inducing things were going on. I had the time of my life. And you know why? Because at another time in my life, I would have been up at 3 in the morning to go down to drive, 30 miles over to Ypsilanti to hand shovel out, hundreds of units and their walkways and their steps so that I could change real fast in the bathroom, come running down to Flat Rock and go to church just so I could clock out and then go back to fix something that broke and then rush all. That little walkway was a delight. We've got to look at those things. 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I couldn't have picked up the shovel. Now I can pick up the shovel and sing a little bit. Hey, it's good. What a joy. And there comes a time when your body betrays you and, hey, I can't make it into the church. I can't do this and I can't do that. But on those days that I am there, oh, how sweet they are. Oh, enjoy it. Enjoy the things. The reaction to gratitude only comes when we've got the ability to look at a blessing and recognize it for what it is. We're not all going to be billionaires with the solution to every problem. We can't prolong life so that we never have to suffer mourning. We can't make sure that everybody that we love and care about does exactly what we say so we never argue with anybody. We can't do those things. But we can look at those things and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the time that I had. Thank you for putting this person in my life. We're not getting along right now, but I'm grateful. And folks, that is another thing we need to address. Sometimes we've got to be grateful for the things that we don't like. Because sometimes those things are making us better. Sometimes those things are opportunities. Sometimes they're just people that God put into our lives that we're supposed to love. So you should be grateful that they are there. Well, look at the government, Lord. It's hard to say, Lord, thank you for the government. But you know what? When I'm not plowed over by a guy who's speeding on the interstate, I should be grateful that there was a cop there running tickets. I should be grateful. When we see people out there getting rowdy, it is nice to know that there is a military that's ready to dive in. There should be a gratitude there, even for the things that we don't necessarily like, because everything is there for a reason. It's either making us better, teaching us something, or it's there for us to have a positive effect on. But there should always be a certain aspect of gratitude for what goes on. Well, you don't understand, like this, this thing that happened this morning, it made me late. Yeah, could you imagine what would have happened if you were on time? Who knows? Who knows what if the Lord actually sketched your timeline, shook it up, just destroyed it, maybe there was a reason it needed to be messed up. I've heard a lot of different testimonies and stories of people. If I were on time, this would have happened. I think about 9/11. You know how many people were absent that day? Larger number than normal were absent that day. And there was a lot of people that came up. I worked in that building. My car broke down that morning. My kid was sick. They said, I'm grateful. How could you be grateful your kid was sick or your car stopped working or you got into a fight with your spouse and you were running late? Or how could you be grateful? Because there was a storm I never had to see because of what he did. Again, it can sound macabre sometimes, but we've got to be grateful for everything that comes in. Now, these guys, they weren't just grateful. It didn't just say that in their hearts quietly they were happy. It said they rejoiced. They rejoiced. That is a loud expression of gratitude. That's what rejoicing is, a loud expression of gratitude. That's when we sing to the top of our lungs. That's when we shout to the top of our lungs, thank you, thank you. we get this image, this Arthur Fonzarelli image in our head of you got to be cool. You got to be calm. Don't get too bothered. When it comes down to gratitude, we need to be bothered. Thank you. Thank you for this. You know, I was looking at my poor little baby girl yesterday, and I like it when they're 2 to 3 years old. I like kids during like Thanksgiving, but Christmas and birthdays, when they haven't quite figured out this present thing yet. You know what I'm talking about? The whole game of it. Okay, I give you this, you tear it up, and she goes, okay, I tear it up. I can tear. And she tears it up, and she looks at it. She goes, oh! And she's excited, and she's messing with it, and then Daddy takes it away, and you see the disappointment on her face. What? And then I give her another one, and she goes, okay, and we rip it up. And then she, oh! And then Daddy takes it away, and she gets confused again, and she rides this little roller coaster of emotion. And then finally, at the end, she's just kind of looking at me going, what are we doing? And she's looking at the pile of things, and she's looking at the pile of paper, and then she just kind of gave me this, and you've seen this face on her. This is very quizzical, what? Face that she has. And she got to play with the things. She was excited. Folks, we know. We should be able to recognize blessings when we see them. And all that little face when she got to go over and start messing with things. And she brought them to her daddy. And I got the package and I opened the packages up. And she got to play with all the things and she was grateful. God loads us with these presents. Loads us with them. We need to be expressive in our gratitude for them. Think about this. Think about praying for your food. Most of us, we pray for our food before we eat it. You want to know why we pray for our food before we eat it? It stems from a time when food was hard to come by. It was hard to come by. We've grown to complain because we're paying an extra $2 for it, but very easily it could be to where we're struggling to find food, either personally or nationally, where food's hard. When you've got to go out and the hunters go out and they come back and they say, hey, there is no food out there. Heard from a lot of hunters that they're just not seeing the deer that they used to. Aren't you glad that you could catch McDonald's on the way home? Because in another time in our civilization, no deer, no food. No food, people are grumpy. Every morsel of food we have, we should be grateful. Every bit of warmth we have, we should be grateful. We were joking with my brother-in-law yesterday. The house that we're in now is the first house we had without a dead spot in it in the HVAC area. You know what I'm talking about? Like our upstairs, the old house in Southgate, the upstairs, no AC, no heat whatsoever. So we froze in the winter and we burned in the summer. But Mommy and Daddy's room, and we had fans and portable air units, so we made it work. And then in the house that we were renting out in Flushing, the kids were upstairs, and we could heat it just fine, but we couldn't cool it okay. So we had to break out again, the air conditioners. First thing, no matter where you are in the house, it's the same temperature. That's nice. We got to think about that stuff. And not just think about it, but say, Lord, this is going to sound ridiculous, but thank you. Get ridiculous. Get down to the nitty-gritty of things. Thank you for the quarter in my pocket. Thank you for this. Thank you for that, because you've worked out the conditions so that this could be possible. And when we apply the rejoicing, I mean, look at their reaction after the rejoicing. What did they do? And daily, verse 42, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Why? Because what Jesus had done for them set them on fire. But you can't get that way if you don't start off counting the small blessings, the big blessings, looking for the blessings, trying to find them. Your brain falls into the malaise of things. You've got to wake your mind up to see the wonder and the joy and the excitement of things. Lord, thank you for the snow. Thank you for the wind. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for this conversation that I had with a friend that I haven't seen in a while. Thank you for this. We raise those things up. Lord, you brought this into my life. Thank you for this. When we do that, our zeal catches fire. Our excitement catches fire. Our joy catches fire because our minds are trained now to see the blessing in things. You ever meet people who are like that? Seems like they never have a bad day. Never have a bad day. Hey, I was driving down the freeway and I saw that you got pulled over. Yeah, I got a ticket. But you know, the cop was real nice, invited him to church. Really good guy. He plays they bowl over there. And he invited me there and I invited him over. I made a friend today. That's nice. Okay. Hey, I saw you fall out there. Are you okay? Yeah, but I tell you what, my heart's moving now. Next couple hours of work are going to be all right. You know, heart's really pumping now. That scared me a little bit. Changes things. I love people like that. I love people who are not oblivious to the bad. Right? And that's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about being so excited about the little things that we forget that we're in a situation. No, I love the people that can be in a situation, be handling the situation, and still pick up the things to be grateful for in that situation and realize that they're going to be able to get through that a whole lot better with finding those little bits of blessings along the way. That's what I love, is people who are like, yeah, you know what? It's rough. You know, I told you before about that guy. You know, we're all sitting there. We're grumpy. We're in there again at 4 a.m. trying to get snowblowers and things started. And there was that one guy going, "Whoo! Overtime today, fellas." Changed my whole attitude. He goes, "We're making money." All right. He goes, I got kids. I need it to snow. You know? Not just the excitement that can be there. And we can raise those things up to the Lord and say thank you. You see, what we ought to be considering is our service. Gratitude fuels our service. It really does. You know, I'd like to think that I'd be willing to do anybody a favor, but there's always something a little bit more when you recognize that you're returning a favor. Hey, you did something nice for me. I'm absolutely going to be there for you. Not that I wouldn't be there for you anyway, but I absolutely am going to be there for you. Right? Our service needs to be that way. Lord, you load me down with all of these blessings. Of course I'm going to serve you. I'm going to be in every house. I'm going to be preaching. I'm going to be teaching. I'm going to try to reach everybody I can. And tell them about you and the good things that you do. You see, in the blessings, we see that we're going in the right direction. And when we can do that with others, like what we do here in church, when I'm counting my blessings out loud and you're counting your blessings out loud, there's something wonderful that happens. We encourage each other. Hey, did you see what happened with them? Oh, that's wonderful. I hate when you get in groups of people and one person, something wonderful happens to them, and then everybody else is like, oh, well, I guess that makes them special. I can't believe they're bragging about the boo. No, if you're happy about something, I'll be happy about something. That's wonderful. Absolutely, that's exciting. You know, you got this, this happened, you crossed this milestone in your life. Lord bless this in your life. I'm excited about that. Hey, that's great. Let's cheer for each other. That's wonderful. I hate when people act like when one person has something good happen to them, somebody else got robbed in order to have it. I hate that attitude. You know, I like cheering for people. It's nice. I like that excitement that comes with it. So you know what? If something happens in the church, Lord blesses you in some way, I want to know about it because I want to cheer for you because if you're happy, I'm happy. We're happy together. You know, these guys are sitting there as one's rejoicing because the Lord, hey, man, I'm nothing but a fisherman. You know, I'm nothing but a tax collector. I'm nothing but a this or that. And the Lord raised me from that to be able to do this. To the point to where I know we're starting to get to people. As one rejoiced, it only made the other one rejoice louder, I am sure, because that's the nature of who we are. Ask some questions here and we'll be done. When was the last time you fully enjoyed the challenge of your Christian life? Think about it. When was the last time you saw the things that you get to partake in as a Christian and you rejoiced in them? Not just struggled to do them, not just struggled with things like church attendance, the gospel, reading your Bible, the day-to-day stuff. But you looked at those and you go, I get to read the Bible today. I get to. I hear these stories about people that have to hide their Bible. I hear these stories of people where there's a black market to sell Christian literature and sermons on. Could you imagine such a thing? In China, you got to hide that stuff. In the Middle East, in certain countries, you got to hide that stuff. I leave mine laying around all over this church. And silly me has my name in most of them. I would not survive in China. I would not survive in the Middle East. I'm glad to be able to have it. So you know what? I'm glad to read my Bible today. I'm glad to give the gospel. Whether people want to hear it or not, I know they need it, so I'm glad to be able to do it. Do we rejoice in it? Hey, listen, I know I've done this. And I'm not, I'm supposed to pretend that I don't, but I know I've done this. I know that we've done a lot of stuff. And I know that we do a lot of stuff. The reason why we do it is because I feel that it's important. I would never just do something for the sake of doing it. Because it's a wild idea that I had. But it's to do something. It's to create something. It's to build something. I rejoice in those things. I rejoice in the fatigue that comes at the end of a Sunday. I rejoice in the amount of work that comes in preparing and protecting and doing certain things. And I'm not perfect. I do feel like I'm getting better in a lot of things, but I rejoice in the struggle. I do. I rejoice in the labor. Because without it, what am I? Without it, who else would do it? Right? We bemoan the current condition of churches. I'm glad for the opportunity to hold the spot here in ours. Well, preachers aren't preaching the way that they ought to. I'm glad to step into the pulpit and do my best to preach the way that I should. Well, no one's giving the gospel. No one's inviting people to church the way that we used to. I'm glad for the opportunity to fix that. To at least not be an example of that. Folks just aren't reading the Bible and they're not sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit. I'm grateful for the opportunity to put my hand into this. Oh, folks, we need to be grateful for our ability to serve. We need to rejoice and really enjoy the challenges of our Christian lives. How about this? When was the last time you saw the level of service you're providing to the Lord? You're looking at the life that you've given to the Lord, what you've created in your life for the Lord, and you looked at what it should be, right? That great gap between the man I am or the woman I am and the person I'm supposed to be. And you looked at that gap and you were excited to try to fix it. You're excited to try to fix it. That's a hard thing for us because we often look at that and go, well, no, this is stressful. This is hard. This is not very enjoyable to consider the fact that I'm not what I'm supposed to be. Unless you're grateful for the opportunity to be able to do it. You know, it's hard to get back on the bicycle once you've fallen off. But if you stop and you thank the Lord for the bicycle and you thank the Lord that you weren't hurt so bad that you couldn't try it again, maybe then you'd be a little bit more pumped and excited to approach it. It is in our nature to be able to do great and grand things. Each and every one of us, I don't care what you think about yourself, it is within each and every last one of us to build better lives, to improve, to learn from our mistakes, to look into the Word of God, see where we are wrong, see what we need to do to get right and be able to perform that. It is within each and every one of our abilities to do so. And you know God is going to help you every step of the way. So all of a sudden, this great gap between where I am now and where I ought to be becomes less of a burden and less of a trial and less of a diet or an exercise, and it becomes more about an adventure that I get to take with my Father. It's all about our perceptions. It's all about our intentions as well. We need to get pumped about the ability to do better. We need to find the things to be grateful for. We need to raise them up to God, and we need to thank Him. We need to keep the practice of finding gratitude in our everyday lives. We need to keep it up. And in that practice, we'll find excitement. And in that excitement, we will find zeal. And in zeal, we will be able to achieve things we could never achieve while we were sitting there in that malaise of, well, here's another Tuesday. Here's another Wednesday. Here's another Thanksgiving. Here's another Christmas. Here's another New Year's. No, we skip past all that. Let's dig into those moments and do something with them. Right? Let's dig into those, find the blessings, raise them up in our lives. Say thank you. Become a grateful person. Practice being a grateful person. Live a grateful person's life. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the service, Lord, the ability to be together. Lord, we're grateful for all those that are here. We pray for all those that can't. Lord, grateful that you brought Brother Greg in on these roads. Lord, that you kept him safe. I pray that you give him a safe trip home. Lord, be with those who are at home sick, not feeling well. Lord, you just put your healing hand on them. Lord, we know we have many a number here waiting on surgeries, going through long-term illnesses. Lord, please just put your hands on them. We pray for Sister Mary as she is at home right now. And Lord, just bring us back again safely tonight. Lord, ready and willing for another dose of your word. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.